You're listening to LGRadio.online. Welcome to In the Benny Green Archives.
So far as the music of the war years is concerned, it's a very potent business. Obviously, because in times of crisis like that, of danger and partings, the popular songs took on an even more intense quality than usual. The war years also happen to coincide exactly with my teens, and that too is a time of life when every effect seems to be heightened. To complicate matters for me, on November the 25th, 1941, I blew a saxophone for the first time, which means that for the next few years, I was busy learning as many tunes as I could find without bothering much how old they were, only with how good they were. So it all got jumbled up with new songs from Tin Pan Alley and the movies, balanced out by songs written before I was born. Sometimes it was hard to tell the two apart. For example, I remember very clearly that in 1942, I became acquainted with a certain song which I assumed to be a new one. Years later, I started to come across evidence that it was nothing of the kind, but was in fact a revival dating back at least as far as 1931. The song also had a very rare distinction indeed, the sort which often gets used as a trick question in quizzes. Here we have one of the occasions when Nat Cole and Frank Sinatra appeared on the same recording and both were featured prominently.
Just found joy, I'm as happy as a baby boy. When he's playing with a choo-choo toy, when I'm with my sweet Lorraine, she's got a pair of eyes that are bluer than the summer skies. When you see 'em, you're gonna realize why I love my sweet Lorraine. When it's raining, I don't miss the sun, 'cause it's in my sweetie's smile. Just to think that I'm the lucky one who will lead her down the aisle. Each night how I pray that nobody steals her heart away. I can't wait until that lucky day when I marry my Lorraine. Nobody steals her heart away. I can't wait until that lucky day when I marry my Lorraine. That'll be the day when I marry my Lorraine.
One of the most unusual performances ever, an all-star recording sponsored by the American magazine Metronome, which used to indulge in the annual madness of inviting readers to vote for their favourites on each instrument and then flinging the whole lot together and letting them record, even though very often the clash of styles could be heard far out to sea. That year it worked out rather well because it included Coleman Hawkins and Johnny Hodges on saxophones, Nat Cole at the piano, and of course Sinatra singing. And by the way, I've already made this week's deliberate mistake, and I wonder how many experts have spotted it. When I said that Sweet Lorraine was written in 1931, that wasn't quite the heart of it. It did enjoy success in 1931, but it had been unveiled 3 years before that, and kept on getting re-unveiled in 1937, again in 1944, and again in 1949. The melody, which has always appealed to me, was written by an odd fish among the songwriters. A man called Clifford Burwell, born in 1898, worked with Paul Whiteman, and then in 1928 he forsook the musical profession altogether when he joined Rudy Valley's band, and he remained there for 15 years with no time off for bad behaviour. Burwell wrote only three or four other songs, none of them of any consequence. But the one item, Sweet Lorraine, has never really gone away, and was certainly one of the items which I should always associate with learning to play an instrument. At least I can claim that I did eventually learn to play that song. I can't say as much for this next one, which again I first heard around 1942 or 3. I did learn it, but I never ever played it in public, because I could never find a pianist who knew it. In those days, we used to worry about such things. These days, not having a pianist know the chords is no impediment, of course. Here is the tune I refer to.
Let's take a boat to Bermuda. Let's take a plane to St. Paul. Let's grab a kayak to Quincy or Nyack. Let's get away from it all. Let's take a trip in a trailer. No need to come back at all. Let's take a powder to Boston for chowder. Let's get away from it all. We'll travel round from town to town. We'll visit every state. I repeat, I love you, sweet, in all the 48. Let's go again to Niagara. This time we'll peek at the fall. Let's leave our hut, dear, get out of our rut, dear. Let's get away from it all. We'll travel round from town to town. We'll visit every state. And I'll repeat that I love you, sweet, in all the 48. Let's go again to Niagara. This time we'll dig the fall. Let's leave our hut, dear, get out of our rut, dear. Let's get away from it all.
Let's get away from it all, written by the still vastly underrated team of Tom Adair and Matt Dennis. Adair spent a lot of his energies on television sitcoms like The Munsters and My Favourite Martian, but he did turn out a bit more work than old Clifford Burwell. When I looked up Let's Get Away From It All, I find that its date is 1941, so it falls into that odd category, an American peacetime song which arrived in this country well into the war. It's as well to remind ourselves that in those days, they were all still writing away. Kern was still very much alive, so was Zygmunt Romberg, freed at last from the Schubert brothers, who had finally been informed, much to their disgust, that Lincoln had abolished slavery. Vincent Humans was still around, but not writing, at least not officially. After he died, a few posthumous items did surface, but to all intents, his career ended around 1934. The wartime, it was the time of I Don't Want to Walk Without You or Set the World on Fire. It was the time of the Glenn Miller craze. It was the very best and the very worst of times, when our taste in music, and in my case, ambitions in music, were framed by two main agencies. The radio, or the wireless, as we called it, and the movies, or the pictures, as we called them. The third outlet was the record business, new and second-hand. During the war, I haunted those second-hand shops, buying items that appealed for a variety of reasons. None of them had dates on. In those times, all you got was a record. There was no real design on the cover, no learned essays, no misspelt titles concocted by specially selected recording executives, just the record. Here's one I picked up one day for no particular reason.
Most of the smart set, when they get their heart set on going low down, they like to disguise it, they don't advertise it at all. late in the night when the moon's fading light is about to go down. They steal away where the brown shadows play on the wall. Society sits and dies at the Ritz when they get to feeling right. Always have their breakfast in Harlem. In all the hotels, the swellest of swells are saving their appetite for a little breakfast in Harlem. When good church neighbors to their labors awaken, then high societies mix in rhythm with bacon. The coffee is hot, so is the spot. Nobody says goodnight till they have their breakfast in Harlem. Church neighbors to their labors awaken, then high society's mixing rhythm with bacon. The coffee is hot, so is the spot. Nobody says goodnight till they have the breakfast in Harlem. Breakfast in Harlem.
Surprisingly enough, that tune and that performance, Breakfast in Harlem, comes not from a Broadway show, but from a London West End show called Transatlantic Rhythm at the Adelphi 1936. And it was performed by one of the most famous duets of all time, Buck Washington at the piano and the voice of Bubbles Sublette, who earned his place in the annals by creating the part of Sporting Life in the original production of Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. Bubbles had no academic knowledge, couldn't read music, and had a very slow grasp of rhythms and tempo. So learning his part in Porgy was hell for him and hell for everybody else, including the conductor, Alexander Smallands. Now, one day after the song they were rehearsing kept going wrong, Smallands blew his very learned top and asked Bubbles sarcastically if his conducting was at fault. But Bubbles was a bit of a poet in his own way, and he completely disarmed Smallands by answering, "If I had the money of the way you conduct, I'd be a millionaire." In the end, Bubbles was considered by Gershwin to be one of the best things in the show, although Bubbles did disarm George Gershwin as well by sending him one of the most famous first night telegrams ever composed, and it went like this: "May the curtain fall with the bang of success for you as the sun rises in the sunshine of your smile." Now, Bubbles was not only a master of the creamy compliment, but was also one of the greatest tap dancers who ever lived. Fred Astaire idolised him. And when Fred had his TV show An Evening with Fred, Bubbles was one of his guests. And Fred asked him if he could still dance the way he used to, at which Bubbles gave the classic reply, "I don't do anything the way I used to." Now, that was John Bubbles, the first man ever to sing "It Ain't Necessarily So" in public. Now, one of the things about the war years which needs stressing is that the music was all around you. These days, to find a good recording of a good tune, it can sometimes be a mission impossible. But 40 years ago, you couldn't avoid it. They were throwing it at you from all angles. For instance, a casual visit to the Paramount Cinema in Tottenham Court Road for the dual purposes of ogling Dorothy L'Amour and enjoying the Jimmy Dorsey Band. And what should turn up but this?
Tangerine, she's all they claim. With her eyes of night and lips as bright as flame. Tangerine, when she dances by, senorita stare and caballero sigh. And I've seen toast to
tangerine, raised in every bar across the Argentine. Yes, she has them all on the run, but her heart belongs to just one. Her heart belongs to Tangerine. Tangerine, she is all they claim, with her eyes of night and lips as bright as flame. Tangerine, when she dances by, senorita stare and all the fellas sigh. And I've seen toast to Tangerine raised in every bar across the Argentine. Yes, she has them all on the run, but her heart belongs to just one. Her heart belongs to Tangerine. I mean to tell you that she has them all on the run, but her heart belongs to just one. Her heart belongs to Tangerine.
Tangerine from the soundtrack of the 1941 picture The Fleet's Inn with Jimmy Dorsey Band featuring Bob Eberly and Helen O'Connell. Nearly 40 years after Tangerine, she recorded a song which I was busy trying to learn in 1941 and 42 and 43 and so on. It was very nearly the first song I learned to play properly, and oddly enough it has since turned out to be very nearly the last one I've forgotten how to play properly. It dates back originally to 1931, but in a sense it's timeless.
All of me, why not take all of me? Can't you see I'm no good without you? Take my lips, I wanna lose them. Take my arms, I'll never use them. Your goodbye, they left me with eyes that cried. How can I get along without you? You took the part that once was my heart. So why not take all of me?
Let's go, boys, let's go.
Goodbye left me with eyes that cried. Now I'm lost without you. And now that you took that part that used to be my heart, all of me, why not take all of me? Can't you see I'm a mess without you? You took the part that used to be my heart. So why not take all?
All of me. Now, one of the great moments of the war years for connoisseurs of the good song, which did not include me at the time, by the way, was a picture called The Sky's the Limit, with Astaire as an intrepid aeronaut. Now, the part attracted Fred, apparently, because he didn't have to appear in White Tie and Tails, and because the Mercer Ireland score sounded so good. I can't think of any other reasons why he should have taken the part. The classic which came out of the picture was One for My Baby, but I want to play the other one, partly because it's neglected, and also because it gives me an ingenious link with one of my other themes this afternoon, the Cotton Club. Now, this link especially appeals to me because it's so tenuous that only a crackpot like me would notice it. In The Sky's the Limit, Johnny Mercer wrote one of his most poetic lyrics, and yet you don't hear it all that often these days.
This will be my shining hour. Calm and happy and bright. In my dreams, your face will flower through the darkness of the night, like the lights of home before me, or an angel watching o'er me. This will be my shining hour till I'm with you again.
Shining Hour from the 1942 Astaire movie The Sky's the Limit, sung there by Rosie Clooney. But the sound to think about was the trumpeter, and that trumpet was played by Warren Vacher. Now there is our rickety bridge over to the Cotton Club. One of his extra musical chores recently was teaching the star of the Cotton Club, Richard Gere, who has very spectacular teeth, by the way. He has to teach Gere to play the thing. You see, Gere portrays a big bad jazz musician in the picture and actually does his own playing, thanks to the tuition that Warren Vacher gave him. I think they might have done better with a precocious chimp for all the music that comes out of it. It's one of the factors which lends a touch of daftness to the picture. Here they were spending the national debt to get it all right, and there's this comical flaw at the heart of it. The way Gere plays, it's not so much Cotton Club style as Street Corner style. Why they didn't let somebody else like Vacher do the playing with gear miming, I can't imagine. The real Cotton Club had the best players in the world and certainly the greatest band of all time. As to the Duke Ellington band and their tenure at the Cotton Club, it was only because the club wanted an 11-piece band that Duke built up the group from a 6 musicians. He went into the Cotton Club, thanks to Irving Mills, in December 1927 and stayed there, thanks to Duke Ellington. In the years that followed, Duke evolved millions of miles from the jungle style of the Cotton Club to become in time the leader of one of the most sumptuous orchestral organisations you ever heard.
Comes after June time's laughter. You see so many dreams that don't come true. Dreams we fashioned when summer time was new. You are here to watch over some heart that is broken by a word that somebody left unspoken. You're the ghost of a romance in June going astray, fading too soon. That's why I say
Summer with the Duke Ellington band accompanying Frank Sinatra, or was it the other way round? The alto saxophone solo was, of course, by Johnny Hodges. Indian Summer was one of the most spectacular of all posthumous hits because it was written in 1940 by Victor Herbert, who died in May 1924. And before you start ringing the Society for Psychical Research, I should explain that when he died, Herbert left behind a piano instrumental, and that Al Dubin, languishing in the twilight of a career spent mostly with Harry Warren, put words to it 16 years later, and the words that were pretty untypical for Dubin, after which the song became a standard ballad. A return to the theme of the music of the last war and its curiously evocative flavour. In 1942, I remember going to the pictures to see a new film simply because the Harry James Band was featured in it. It's a funny thing, if it were on today, I'd be going because Harry Warren and Matt Gordon were featured in it. The title of the picture was Springtime in the Rockies, and the big song was this one.
I had the craziest dream last night. Yes, I did. I never dreamed it could be. Yet there you were, in love with me. I found your lips close to mine, so I kissed you, and you didn't mind it at all. When I'm awake, such a break never happens. How long can a guy go on dreaming? If there's a chance that you care, then please say that you do. Say it and make my craziest dream come true.
Frank Sinatra, I Had the Craziest Drum. And to close, an old song which has never really gone away, I Hear Music. Kind of a standard now, but it was written originally for a very modest picture indeed. Now, that was back in 1940. Back to the war again. Oh, well. Paramount wanted to give some of its young starlets a trial run, so they concocted this picture featuring about 3 million of them. It was called Dancing on a Dime.
I hear music, mighty fine music, the murmur of a morning breeze up there, the rattle of a milkman on the stair. Sure, that's music, mighty fine music, the singing of a sparrow in the sky, the perking of the coffee right nearby. There's my favorite melody, you, my angel, phoning me. I hear music, mighty fine music, and any time I think my world is wrong, get me out of bed and sing this song.
And that's it. See you same time next week.
There's my favorite melody, you, my angel, phoning me. I hear music, mighty fine music, and anytime I think my world is wrong, I get me out of bed and sing.
You've been listening to In the Benny Green Archives here on lgradio.online. Please do visit the website to find out when the next episode is on, along with all our other shows. This is lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.